friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you are listening in North Florida, welcome. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you. And if you had downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. Amen. We pray as we gather around the Word of God that God's Word is going to get into some good ground hearts out there. And when it does, the Bible said it's going to bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this can be life-changing today, this time we spend in this mighty, powerful, life-giving book called the Bible. And if you're not a Christian today, amen, I want you to know this powerful book can affect you today. So please stay tuned to this broadcast. Be our special guest today and understand and appreciate why when you see a dedicated Christian with a passion for Jesus and you don't understand what that's all about, listen in today and get a glimpse of the glory that is in salvation itself and the Son of God and in serving God. Amen. We would love you to be our special guest today and to share the reason for our joy and the reason for our passion for Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. Well, if you'd like to come to our website before we get into this particular part of our teaching today, we would like to invite you to come. If you type in the Holy Church of God, it will take you there. If you just type in those initials, THCOG, and click on it, it will take you to our website right here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been pastor and senior pastor this is our 38th year of ministry. And God has been gracious and good to allow us once again to wear two hats, to be a pastor of a church here in Tampa, but to be an evangelist to wherever this broadcast and wherever the Word of God goes. So today I've introduced myself as a pastor evangelist. And right now, as a pastor, I'm going to do the work of an evangelist for a little while and reach out to others with the gospel and inspire Christians through the Word of God with everything the Holy Spirit anoints me to say and do in the next few moments. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This is our foundational scripture for the teaching of In It to Win It. Holy incentives to run full out for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul says here. To Christians, know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. Paul uses the analogy of a race to impress upon Christians the importance of commitment to our Christian walk and the reward that awaits those who persevere. Literally, commitment to Jesus Christ will bring a commitment to our Christian walk, and devotion to Jesus Christ will bring the disciplines necessary to serve Him obediently. But we have to fight something called the flesh. And Paul said, I buffet my body in another place and I bring it into subjection. Amen. I bring it under my body. I keep under my body. I keep it in subjection. Listen very carefully. He said the world does these very same things to receive a corruptible crown. When an Olympic athlete wins the gold, believe me, they have been devoted, amen, and disciplined in order for that to happen. If they were not have a devotion that brings a discipline, listen, you can't just sit there and eat three helpings of banana pudding and expect to run the mile faster than anybody on two legs and win the gold. You know, you can't eat the potato chips, amen, and you can't eat that good ice cream, amen, that whole pint, and not get up and exercise and think that you're going to win. It involves a discipline, and the devotion is what brings the discipline. Hallelujah. And these Olympic runners, I believe they're devoted partially to themselves. Everyone wants to be a winner. Everyone wants the applause. There's an egotistical reason for winning a race, but there's a higher reason for many of those athletes, because they wear the colors of the country that they represent. And I believe the best of the best of the athletes are not just trying to get endorsements and be recognized as the best for their egocentric reasons. I believe that the best of the best that have the deepest devotions and therefore the most rigid disciplines in their life to be the winners, to outrun anyone else in the world, is because they want to bring honor and glory to their country that they represent. Praise God. Amen. It's that American flag on that uniform. It's that African flag on that uniform. Wherever the country is represented. Amen. That's the higher incentive for devotion and discipline. And God gives us incentives because of the rewards that He gives. Last couple of broadcasts, we talked about the crown of life in James 1 and verse 12. We talked about the crown of righteousness, amen, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 through 8. And today we're going to talk about the third crown talked about in the Bible, amen. And that's the crown of glory in 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4. The crown of glory. Listen to what it says. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." See, friend, Jesus Christ will personally honor faithful servants, and faithful servants will glory in the fact that God has found them worthy of commendation. Hallelujah. Amen. David was called in Scripture because when God got ready to move Saul out of the way because of disobedience and stubbornness and pride, God said, "I will find me a man after my own heart to be king, who will do everything that I command him." And when he picked David, David earned the title, a man after God's own heart. God's commendation, God's and Christ's recognition of faithful servants to be honored by God the Father and the Son. This constitutes the crown of glory. You know, Paul was after that, to please God, to honor God, to be faithful to God. It's kind of like the crown of righteousness, but it's just receiving God's honor for serving Him effectively. And Paul said, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us on that day. When we have the God that gave His Son for us, and the Son that gave His life for us, and the Spirit that came to come alongside us as our comforter, our helper down in this world, when we have their commendation, when we are honored for serving the Lord, having God's honor, is going to be a crown of glory to hear Him honor us. Praise God. Remember the widow that gave out of her two mites? And Jesus said, this woman gave more than them all. That meant because of that statement, this woman is still being honored today. His honor is her glory, and His honor is our glory. Paul said, I suppose the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with this crown of glory, with the glory that's going to be revealed in us when we, amen, are seated with Jesus. Hallelujah. Given joint seating, the Bible said. How honored can we get? We don't deserve any of that, but if we're faithful to God, God's going to grant it to us, and we're going to know that we have received the crown of glory. And Paul said that's worth everything to obtain. Praise the Lord. And by the way, when Paul said the sufferings of this present world, he wasn't talking about, amen, going on a picnic and getting bitten by a skeeter. He was talking about, amen, trials and tests. You know what he said? What he talked about that isn't worthy to be compared with the glory? He enumerated these sufferings in another portion of Scripture. He said, I was given 39 stripes on 5 different occasions of the Jews. 5 times I was tied to a whipping post for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, stripped to the waist and literally beaten within an inch of His life. The reason the Jewish law said if you're not going to give someone a death sentence, but you make him wish he was dead, give him 39 stripes. 40 stripes save one. 39 stripes. Why? Because after this, most people went into shock and died. So they had to cut the whipping short at 39. There was a young lady recently in the news that in one of the extreme Muslim nations where the extremists did terrible things. And I'm going to say this today. If you're Jewish out there, this was way back when this kind of persecution was given to Christians. And we want you to know we're your friends and pray that you're ours today. Amen. Praise God in it. And we want you to know if you're a Muslim today and you're not an extremist, we want you to understand we're not talking about you. But this happened recently when extremists applied Sharia law and from the Quran to a young lady accused of adultery, 14 years old. She was given 100 lashes. And because of that whipping, she died in a hospital. The body just couldn't hold up to that kind of punishment and blood loss. So Paul was given on 5 occasions 40 stripes, save one. Amen. 39. He said, this happened 5 times. He said, I was beaten with rods thrice. He said, I was stoned and left for dead. Amen. He said, I was among false brethren. He said, I was in peril of sword. He said, I was shipwrecked 3 times, and I was in the deep for a day and a night. I was hungry. I was among false brethren. Hey, there's not much that you could imagine negatively in terms of persecution that did not happen to the Apostle Paul. And yet, he looked past all of that. He looked past time into eternity. And he said, there's a crown waiting for me. Praise God. Amen. There is a reward, and it's worth the persecution. It's worth the discipline. It's worth all of it just to receive what awaits us for eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus was mocked and wore a crown of thorns, but now He wears a crown of glory. Hebrews 2:9-10, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom all things and by whom all things in are, and in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Praise God. In Revelation 19 and verse 12 concerning Christ, it said, on His head were many crowns. Praise God. Hallelujah. Crowned with glory and honor because He didn't love His life unto the death. Your pastor, radio pastor, and your pastor, if you're any of our congregation listening, has often said, and I say it again today, I do not want victory just for my sake, so I can say that I'm a winner. I want victory to bring glory and honor to my King. Praise God. If we endure the hard stuff, friend, and faithfully serve the Lord, we will bring honor to His name. He will reward us with the crown of glory. His honor for our honoring Him is the crown of glory. And it's a crown worth running full out to receive and obtain. Hallelujah. Thank God for the crown of glory that awaits us. Paul said it's worth all the suffering. If you're a missionary listening to this broadcast under heavy persecution, making sacrifices, putting your life on the line, I want you to know what God is going to grant to you just beyond this old world is worth every sacrifice, every persecution. Praise the Lord. Don't give in. Don't give up. And I say it to Christians that are not under the kind of persecution here in America that so many of our brethren are around the world. If they can lay down their life for Jesus Christ, if they can be willing to die for Him, the least we can do for our King and Savior is to live for Him with everything that we are and everything that we have. And I'm going to pause here and let you say amen to that in your heart and with your mouth. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So this brings us to our fourth crown, the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, listen to what Paul writes. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hath hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm gonna tell you something. Amen. I don't ever expect to get rich because I preach the gospel, because I'm not to preach it for filthy lucre's sake. The Bible said a hireling fleeth when he see the wolf cometh, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Praise God. I'll tell you, if somebody just paid money to watch the sheep, they're not his sheep. He has no personal investment in them. He's not going to risk his life when a pack of wolves come around. But if somebody loves the sheep, they will stand there and fight to the death to defend them. And the wolf had better watch out, because a man that committed, amen, with a rod in his hand, you might not want to fool with him. Praise God. Amen. Listen, Jesus Christ's reward for enduring the shame of the cross is a bride, a holy people destined to live with Him in heaven forever. I believe this crown was in Jesus' view while climbing up the hill called Golgotha and while hanging on the cross, because Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And you know, because of what He did on that cross, whosoever will can now come and drink of the river of life freely. Hallelujah. And I believe Jesus looked past that old rugged cross and He saw me and you, if you're a Christian, amen, crying out to Him for forgiveness and seeing it granted by the Father based on the shed blood of the Son. And for the joy, amen, of seeing the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, men and women snatched from hell's gates and secured for the gates of heaven. Praise God for the joy that was set before Him. This crown of rejoicing was granted to Jesus because He said, not my will, but thine be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him for the joy. It's not been easy for me, being a preacher of the gospel. The devil hasn't rolled over and just let me or my family alone. There have been great battles down through the years, and I bear the scars. I can tell you about hurts and heartaches and heartbreaks. Amen. But I can tell you something else. I can tell you that God is faithful, and I can tell you that there's joy. Amen. In the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. And I can tell you there's joy in the presence of our little old church when somebody comes to know Jesus, whether the result of this broadcast or our outreach through our website or whether it happens right in our congregation. When somebody comes to God, there's joy and rejoicing. Praise God. And when I see people that have come to the Lord through their ministry down through the years, serving the Lord effectively, praise God, walking, still walking up the King's highway, hallelujah, I wear, amen, the crown of rejoicing. It's something we receive right now while serving Him. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And when we get to heaven and we see the souls, I like the song that says, when we see the souls that we have helped to win, bringing them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Praise God. All of our victories, friend, all of our conquests, all of our achievements, all of our righteousness, all of our applause of men, all of our blessings of God, we owe it to Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I was at a funeral this past week, and at that funeral, people came up to me that had come to Christ 20, 30 years ago in our ministry that we haven't seen for years. And yet they grabbed and shook my hand and hugged my neck, and I strutted the crown of rejoicing. Oh, what a joy I went home with, knowing all those years have passed, and here we are being confronted again with the fruit of sowing these seeds of the gospel and sowing our life into the gospel. What a joy it was to shake hands with people that we're going to live with forever, and know that leaving the security of a job and taking the persecutions and heat of ministry and making the sacrifices, missing those opportunities to see those places we could have seen, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Praise God. Listen, what are we going to do with these crowns? What are we going to do when we receive all of these crowns in heaven? Amen. Revelation 4, verse 10 through 11 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat upon the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. Turning souls to Christ, friend, changing their eternal destiny from hell to heaven, there's a crown worth running full out to receive. The question is, when we wake up in the morning, are we ready to wake up, ready to run, to receive this crown, so that we can lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ and give Him the honor that is due His great and holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend, if you don't know Jesus today and you've listened to this point in the broadcast and you feel my passion, do you feel me today? Can you feel my passion to run for the Lord? Today God offers you the first crown in this teaching. He offers you the crown of life. Life that death can't stop. Life that the grave can't conquer. He offers you today eternal life. And what He asks of you is that you repent of your sin, to show true contrition and repent of your sin. And you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Father, forgive me. And you thank Him by bowing before Him. Would you do that right where you are? Would you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. change me from the inside out. I can't change myself, but I can change my mind. You can change my heart. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to follow the devil. I don't want to follow sin anymore. I want to follow you. So, Lord, come right now. Take me just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come. Hallelujah. And you'll be part of our crown of rejoicing to know that through this ministry, God has saved a soul by His Spirit through His Word, but He saved a soul. And how we would rejoice to know that. If you come to know Jesus, come to our website. Leave a little message. Hallelujah. Just let us know that God has made a difference in your life because of what we're doing for Him faithfully. What a joy it would be. And if you're a Christian today and you are discouraged, and you're a Christian today and you've been sidelined and you're just kind of rocking on, biding your time, I believe God has spoken to you through His Word. I believe God is stirring your spirit. God needs you back in the race. You need to be back in the race. Come on, let's run together the race that is set before us. You know what the Bible said, and you may be one of those people today. It said to look around, and if you see somebody that's discouraged, despondent, lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee. Hallelujah. Why? Why the feeble knee? So you can run again. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you today before we leave the airway. Come and run with us. Let's serve the Lord till He comes, because He's coming soon, friend, so that we won't be ashamed at His appearing. Well, our time is almost gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?